Welcome to the Trauma Healing Collective podcast. Today we have Ashley Childs joining us, one of our new employees here at Trauma Healing Collective. So we're going to be asking her some questions. And before we jump into that, Ashley, you want to just take a minute to introduce yourself?
Yes, I can. So good morning, everyone. Good rising, everyone. My name is Ashley Childs. I am a registered counselor intern. I practice EMDR. I'm also a yoga instructor and a Reiki practitioner. I'm originally from Silver Spring, Maryland, and recently graduated from Temple University with my master's in counseling psychology.
Awesome. Thank you. Anything else you want the people to know?
I'm very passionate about doing counseling, doing therapy work, doing trauma work, specifically with the Black and Brown population or populations. Yeah, that's what I would, kind of end it on.
Okay. All right. What about, you want to talk about your dog?
I guess we're getting, to that. So I have a 1-year-old German Shepherd. She's a sweetheart and she's also crazy. I also have a twin brother. That's like a little fun fact. And I'm a Gemini. And if people didn't know, Gemini is like the twin sign. So like whenever I tell someone or anyone that I am a Gemini, I always say like, I'm a Gemini to the T.
Yes. I love that. That's so cool. That's like the best fun fact ever. I love it. Awesome. Well, we always like to start. And I know this question for these first few interviews is kind of like, duh, but we always like to start with this question for all of our guests, and that is, how are you working in your current role to help destigmatize the connection there with the internet? But I don't know if you heard me with that one.
Could you repeat it one more time? You kind of cut out.
Yes. I said, kind of our question that we're planning to ask every guest is stigmatized trauma.
Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Cool. Do you not hear me again?
Yeah, I heard you this time.
You heard me that time. Okay.
Yes. So currently I would say spreading awareness of trauma, spreading awareness of how trauma impacts every facet in someone's life. And I think also just the importance of like knowing that everyone in some way none to them, thinking about specifically, as I say, like one of my passions for, at least as a therapist, is working with the Black and Brown community. And so I always like to spread awareness of trauma and or therapy, mental health within my own community, within my own interpersonal relationships. And I think just normalizing like, hey, everyone has experienced some sort of trauma.
Yeah, absolutely. Love that.
For sure.
I'm going to, before we move on, I'm going to switch to my hotspot. Okay. On my internet connection, because I think maybe because we're all connected to Zoom right now on the internet, and Metronet has not been a deer and gotten our Metronet set up yet. Our internet connection is just low.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time hearing it, so I might do the same thing.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
And Ashley, you're muted now. So I don't know. There we go.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay. So let's see if that resolves our connection issues moving forward. Cause it's going to be really frustrating for listeners if it's like cutting out the whole time.
Okay. Well, cool. Well, then I'll go ahead with the next question. Okay, cool. So next question, what's the most important thing you've learned over your career working in this?
I think honestly, the most important thing that I have learned is to look at my own personal life, look at my own, like, you know, my own experiences and what I've been through, and kind of like, excuse my language, but work on my own shit. Like, I think you can't really hold space in a specific way or in a safe way with clients if you kind of haven't like worked through your own stuff.
Yeah.
I would also say the importance of just showing up as like Ashley. Like, granted, like, yes, we are, you know, we are in a professional field, and also knowing like our clients know, like, if we're being genuine or not. Our clients know if we're just kind of putting on a mask. Like, our clients are super aware of these things. Mm-hmm. And so like bringing Ashley into the therapy session, I think for me has been very important, specifically when thinking about like holding space.
Absolutely. I love that. I'm so glad that you've learned that so early on in your career, because it took me a really long time to let, you know, I think we learn so much about, and obviously this stuff is so important, right? The ethics and the boundaries and the professionalism and all of that. It's so important. And so I'm not diminishing that and the role and the importance of all of that, because it's very important. The show that I recommended at the end of my interview, Shrinking, is the prime example of how those lines can get really blurred sometimes. Mm-hmm. However, I think that for so long, I was so rigid in those things in the beginning of my career that it really kept up so many barriers in that therapeutic alliance that it made it really hard for people to feel genuinely safe in that holding of space. So I'm so glad that you've learned that so early on in your career. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. And I think also, just like being a client myself, right? Like, I think I've had experiences as a client where I'm like, okay, this doesn't feel safe because my therapist it wasn't really giving genuine, I wasn't getting like genuine energy from them.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't know, it kind of felt like forced in a way. And then, you know, stuff that feels forced doesn't, you know, feel safe for me at least. Yeah. So I think that has been very, you know, something very important for me.
Absolutely.
Kind of like when somebody is checking off a box, you can feel that, you know, like, okay, here's the technique. So in the body, it'd be like very rigid and like, okay, you're doing all the techniques, but like, where are you in that process? Yeah. Instead of just like, all right, arm check, head check, you know, they're really like that element of you needing to feel that you're working with a person and not a robot.
Right.
Absolutely. Yep. All right. So next question, if you had to write a book tomorrow, what would you write about?
Okay. So I currently write already. I don't write like per se books, but I really enjoy poetry. Mm-hmm. So a book that I guess I can say I'm working on, but hasn't been very in a sense like, okay, this is, you know, this is like the deadline of it or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I have kind of wrote a mini poetry book where it has like three parts per se. And it kind of has a lot to do with like grieving or grief. And so like for me personally, I kind of put the three, I know there's like six stages of grief. Something of that sort. For me personally, I made it so it was three stages of grief. And so it has one topic and then another topic and then another topic. And each of those topics, I haven't necessarily titled them all three yet, but they're basically geared towards grief in some way. And the poems are geared towards grief in some way, if that makes sense.
Oh, I love that. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait till you're comfortable maybe sharing that with us.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah. All right. Next question. In your opinion, what is the most important personality trait, strength, somebody would need to work in the industry and be successful in your job?
Okay. So I would say, and is it just one specific personality or is as many as I choose to say?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever, whatever comes to you, however it leads you.
Yeah. So I would say, courage, I would say compassion, I would say understanding, I would say open-mindedness, and authenticity.
Yeah,
someone that's like very authentic in who they are, and also like just being comfortable with knowing like in this field, like it is a relationship, right? So like you're not, you know, whoever you are, you may or may not connect with the client or clients that are sitting in front of you, and, you know, being okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Love that.
I think that's really important too. You know, it's not personal, you know, like there's somebody for everyone. I know I've had really amazing therapists and I've had therapists that were amazing, but I just didn't really connect with them and being able to say like, I need somebody to meet me where I am in that moment and not take it personally because
it's
really not personal. It's, you just want to be able to build that therapeutic alliance. And sometimes it's just not there. And it's not that anybody did anything wrong. It's just sometimes you don't click with somebody and it's not the, you know, the timing isn't right or whatever.
Well, I know we talked about like boundaries and ethics. And so I hate to use this analogy, but it's kind of like dating, right? Like you, when you're dating somebody, like it doesn't necessarily mean, I mean, sometimes they're horrible people, but it doesn't always mean that they're a horrible person just because you don't have the chemistry or you don't have the connection or you don't have the things in common, like just, okay, moving along, you know? Right. Yeah. And so same thing with the therapist, you have to find somebody that you feel like you connect with and that understands and that you feel like you can really be your authentic self with in the room with, because for whatever reason, it doesn't mean that they're a bad therapist. It just means that you don't, you know, connect. So you do have to find somebody. So I always tell clients, in the beginning that, you know, if I ever do anything that you don't like, tell me, let's talk through it. It might be that it's something I can work on or do differently, or it might be something that is just, we're not a good fit and we need to find somebody who is, because that's the most important thing, that you're getting what you need, because this is your therapy. So absolutely.
And I would also like to add on to that. Like, for me, sometimes I tell myself like, yeah, like sometimes needs just are different. Like your needs may be this and my needs may be this, or, you know, I may not be able to provide you what you may need in this very moment of your life.
Yeah. So
I always remind myself of that.
Yeah. Absolutely. And with, I know that, you know, we're both EMDR therapists. And so that's kind of what we do in terms of therapy. And so not everybody is open to that or ready for that or, you know, whatever. And so, okay, we'll find somebody who's doing the type of therapy that feels like a better fit for you. And that's totally fine. There's nothing wrong with that. So absolutely. Okay. So what about somebody who is just getting started in this career, this area of working? What would you recommend to them, or what's one piece of advice you would give to them?
Yes. I would say that the therapy field itself is a trauma field. Like, I think no matter what someone comes into therapy for, like they're in some way they have been impacted by trauma, and it may not be necessarily like what we call in therapy like big T trauma, it may be like little T trauma. But I think for me personally, like going into this field, I didn't know that. And then when I started seeing clients during my internship or field site, I started to notice like this person may come in for anxiety, and then I continue seeing them throughout the sessions. And now we're talking about something totally different, but it always came back to like why they were here or why they were there for therapy. So I think kind of realizing that you can't run from trauma if you're going to be a therapist per se. So
no. That is such a good point. I think you're so right. And I've been saying this a lot lately. I think since our conference that we spoke at in Orlando, Shay, I've been telling everybody like, so sorry. Now everybody on the planet has officially experienced trauma because we all went through the global pandemic. So anybody who, unless they've been born like kind of this year, everybody on the planet has experienced trauma because we all went through the global pandemic together. And so sorry to break it to you if you didn't realize that, but like now officially everybody has experienced trauma. So we like, nobody can really say they've escaped it at this point. So you're absolutely right. So there's no escaping that in this field. And you don't have to specialize in it, but you can't expect to be a therapist and not have a client come and sit in your office who's, you know, there's no such thing as somebody who, you know, especially now post pandemic that has not experienced trauma. So,
yeah. And I think it's a more will be revealed situation. A lot of times, you know, somebody will come in and whatever degree of denial they have, you know, I mean, that's self-protection, right? So once they start building that therapeutic alliance, I find a lot of times that, you know, somebody will come in to process a thing, right? And then, you know, a couple of sessions later, once we have a good kind of rapport going, they're like, oh yeah. And then this thing happened. And I'm like, oh my God, that's huge. Oh yeah. And then this thing, and then this thing,
but yeah, a lot like of times, you could have led with that, but yeah, no, they couldn't because they weren't ready.
And they don't clock it as trauma. You know, a lot of times people won't clock it as trauma. And then once they start getting into it, they're like, you know, they had to minimize, they had to survive, whatever, whatever it may be. But really just what Ashley's saying with, you know, going back to the beginning of being authentic, being yourself, being a person they can connect with instead of a box to check off with a diagnosis or whatever. It's really about once they trust, then they can start trusting with these vulnerable places, these stresses, these traumas. Once they feel it's safe to act, kind of unload that. And if they have somebody capable of holding that space, people who have had trauma are super intuitive of who is safe to tell their story to. And if you're not a safe, trustworthy person, they're not going to bring it up. They're going to be like, oh, I don't want to put this on you. Yeah. But if you have good boundaries from the get, they'll be like, oh, she can hold this, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's really interesting to kind of be able to build the relationship from a very honest, authentic place instead of box checking.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. All right. So what are three books you'd recommend to our audience and why?
Okay, so one book I would recommend is Body Keeps a Score.
Yeah.
That was, I believe that one and My Grandmother's Hands were the two books that really stuck out to me during grad school. And I was like, okay, yes, yes, and yes, EMDR, yes. You know, trauma doesn't just impact someone's cognitive brain. It impacts literally like your mind, your body, your spirit. And I think also, and I'm kind of jumping around, so I do apologize. Post-traumatic sling syndrome. And that was, so those are three books, but that book specifically kind of allowed me to realize like the generational impacts of trauma and this idea of epigenetics and how like the trauma that your ancestors went through may still, you know, kind of goes down generations and generations and generations, and how the impacts of how the impacts of how the impact of slavery impacted my my grandmother and my mother and me. And so I think like all those things kind of during grad school kind of like started clicking. And I think when I, like growing up, like it wasn't in my household, it wasn't like mental health was like nothing. It wasn't talked about a lot in my household. And I think even going to like an HBCU, it wasn't really talked about at a historically Black college. And so kind of understanding like the lack of awareness and lack of resources within the Black community was something that was just like, And so in grad school, when I started reading those books, I was like, wow. And how just the idea, like, yes, EMDR as a somatic therapy, as a form of somatic therapy, but also how like historically, like Black and Brown communities have been using body movements as a way to heal and process, you know, whatever experiences that they were experiencing. And so I think for me, those three books kind of like changed my life in a sense, specifically as it pertains to this field. I know that was kind of like a long answer and kind of jumping around, but yeah.
Great.
So the first two I've heard of and read, but the last one you said I haven't. So I'm actually going to write it down and read it ASAP. So what is it called again? And do you know the author?
So post-traumatic slave syndrome.
And if you don't know the author off the top of your head, we'll find it and include it.
Yes. Right now I do not.
That's okay. Yeah.
Lovely, lovely book.
Awesome. That sounds amazing.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
So is there anything, as we're kind of wrapping up with all of our specific questions, is there anything that you would like to share that maybe we haven't talked about, or anything that you think would be important for our listeners to know about you, or that you'd just like to talk about before we wrap up today?
I would say, for everyone that is going into the field of therapy or in, you know, in counseling, and honestly, just like any field that is like healing, geared towards healing, two things. So I would say always kind of like you're always a student, and that's kind of something I learned in like my yoga training, but like we are forever students. And I think because there's so many like nuances in the field of counseling and or any field that is geared towards healing, staying up to date with like new research and like things that have been working is no longer working. Because I think that would, you know, overall help. And the other thing I would say is don't, like, no matter what field that you're in as it pertains to healing, I think there's room to create a healing space in any field, if that makes sense. And I was kind of talking to a friend that is a hairstylist. And she was like, yeah, like, you know, all of my clients that come in, they are always like, you know, they're talking to me about, you know, how their weekend went and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, yeah, you know, I definitely can see that. And I also said, like, you don't necessarily have to be a therapist to hold like a safe space or like a sacred space. Like you can hold space like anywhere. You don't necessarily have to be a therapist or a yoga instructor or whatever. I think, in other words, like making every space like trauma informed.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Love that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of like my last like 2 cents I would add.
Yeah.
That was a great word. Yeah.
Yeah. Love it.
Well, thank you so much for sharing a little bit of yourself with us today and with our listeners. And we are so, so, so grateful to have you as a part of our team. Like, we just can't stop saying that enough. We feel like we won the lottery when you applied for the job and when you said yes to coming to work for us. So we are so grateful to have you here. So thank you so much for taking the time to share yourself a little bit today with everybody. And like, I'm not just saying that for everybody who's listening. She is such a just delight, and we're honored to have her as a part of our team.
Thank you. And I felt that since I started, so I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we are going to wrap up for today, but keep listening, and we will have another interview with our other employee coming soon.
Yep. All right.
Bye.